Hi, everyone. I'm Anita Lustria, and for many years I did live radio. Then I transitioned to the podcast world where I feel I found my home. I love talking about spiritual formation, justice issues, and spiritual practices. Throw in the Enneagram, movies, and current events from time to time, and that's what you get on the podcast. I'm glad you've come along for the ride. Welcome to Faith Conversations. Welcome to Faith Conversations, everyone. I'm Anita Lustria, and I'm delighted to have Mike Murphy with me on the podcast. If you're brand new, then you heard two different names. We're married. I'm really Anita Murphy, but Anita Lustria was my professional name for so long. I still go by that. Mike Murphy, welcome back to Faith Conversations.
Well, thank you. I never had a professional name, so I can't go back to anything. So
it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice when you meet someone and they say, "Are you Anita Lustria?" And you go, no, I'm Anita Murphy.
Except you don't do that because you don't lie very well.
I don't do. I think I've only done it once in my life when I just was whipped. I just was tired. I didn't want to talk to anybody. That's terrible.
I think I said, "Anita, do you really love me?" And you said, "Yes." And I went, "No."
That's hilarious. Well, listen, it is good to be on the podcast. Again, I know some of you listened to the one with Janet Davis last time, and we talked through some transcendent things, but they were also real specific things to my brain injury, which is getting better by the day. So I'm doing quite well. Thank you so much for the cards and thoughts and emails and all of that stuff. Really appreciate it. Mike, I wanted to have you on this week. I thought it would be good for us to talk through a few of your rumblings, but I thought another place for us to start before we went there was to talk about what we'd been reading.
Yeah.
I am a big listener to books, to audiobooks. You're a reader, and I used to be, you know, a reader of the physical book, and I still am, but I like going out on my walks and listening to the audiobook. So let's start with you. What are you reading these days?
Well, I've got a whole bunch of things going on at one time.
I love that you do that. I usually have a few started, and I think a lot of people do that, you know, have more than one book started and going at one time.
Yeah, I think you have my copy of one of the books.
Oh, I do. I'm holding it up here for you to see.
For the Thomas Merton one. I thought it was really good. It was relatively short.
And I'll read the title of it, An Introduction to His Life, Teachings, and Practices, Thomas Merton. It's by John Sweeney.
Yes. And I think that's a fascinating book. One is because if you made a top five list of the most influential Christians in the past 75 years, I wonder how many people would have Merton on it. And yet a lot of folks would say, "Oh, yeah, he probably is the most influential person of faith."
Really?
That showed up on the scene. And people would go, no, it's Billy Graham. It's Billy Graham.
Well, it depends on the circles that you were raised in, right?
Yes, it does, very much.
Yeah.
Billy Graham had great influence. Martin Luther King Jr. was a man of faith, had a great influence. But Merton is a very interesting guy, a Trappist monk who loved being in the limelight, which is kind of odd.
True.
he is one that really talked a lot about true self and false self.
Yes.
And the true self is who God really intended us to be. But for many of us, we never get there because we got all these other things that we're trying to make people look good and
make ourselves look good.
So this book by Merton would be really good. The second one I would say to somebody if they wanted to read it would be his signature book called A Seven-Story Mountain.
I was just thinking of that. That's the one that is really well known. This is a newer book on Merton, which I like, An Introduction to His Life, Teachings, and Practices. If you don't know much about Merton, you might start here. And then actually, I'm going to talk with John Sweeney here in a couple of weeks, and maybe I'll ask him about people starting here and where he would suggest they go next. That might be interesting. But you would suggest for them to head to the Seven Story Mountain after this book.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. I probably read it two or three times in my life.
Wow.
And the first time, I'm sure I didn't understand much of it at all. But Merton's a good guy because he challenges the way you think. So in it's both of us, we both like to be challenged in the way we think. And that means, you know, dealing with difficult ideas.
Yes.
So Merton will challenge people, and that's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a really good thing. And the questions that arise are really invitations to prayer. So,
love that. Anything else on your stack you want to mention or no?
Anita, I've got so many. I've got Black as the Body.
Uh-huh. That was, you read that for your interracial book club earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Emily Bernard.
Put it on my audiobook list as one for me to check out and listen to.
Yes. And I just think she has a series of stories, essays, just about what it's like for her to to grow up as a Black woman in America. Really well done. She's very authentic. Good reading. It's good. It's easy. It's an easy read. But if we think about it, it kind of challenges us a little bit.
Yep. Well, let me talk about what's on my book list right now. And I keep a list of the audiobooks that I have read. And in 2021, I am on book number 27. So I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know where that puts me.
You have a lot of free time, don't you?
Yeah. I think about Lori Neff, a friend of mine, and we used to work together. And I think she gets through like 60 plus a year, and I am not on that track at all.
Well, actually, you are. You are.
Well, 27. I don't know. And this is August, though. I don't know.
You can do it. Pick shorter books.
Well, I did. So thank you. That's a good entree into what I've been reading. So I've been listening to InterVarsity put out these series of books. You know that I'm a fan of the Enneagram. I'm an Enneagram trainer. Yes. I believe in it very much. I think it's a tremendous pathway tool for spiritual formation and transformation. And InterVarsity Press did a series of books called 40 Days on Being a Blank, fill in the type. So there are 9 types of the Enneagram. There are a couple of them yet to come out. So I've read 40 Days on Being a 3, on Being a 1, on Being a 4, on Being a 7. No, I'm not all these numbers, but I'm a spiritual director. And so I have clients that are all these numbers, different types. And I have found it fascinating and helpful because, you know, I've listened to it in, you know, on maybe 2 walks, it's taken me to listen through it. It's meant to be listened over or to be read over the course of 40 days. And at the end of each day, there are some helpful questions, 1 or 2 to sit with and ponder, or journal about, whatever. And I found these particular books, this series, to be tremendous. And I plan to listen to whatever is out. I know the 2 is out, and I think the 5 is out. I'm going to and they're all written by different people. So the introduction is written by Suzanne Stabile, who is an Enneagram guru and has been here on the podcast with me multiple times. So she's written the introduction, but because she's only one type, different people have written the different books, and it's been fascinating to hear from people who it's their type and their thoughts. And, you know, we're all different. We're wired differently, even when we are that type. So I found it helpful to listen to my type and to hear some of the questions posed and sit with that. I've already given one as a birthday gift to a friend of mine. And I probably will do that again, because I think these are really good.
Right.
So that's, you know, a series I've been listening to. I also just finished On Living by Carrie Egan, Carrie with a K, Carrie Egan. She was a hospital chaplain, maybe still is a hospital chaplain. No, hospice chaplain. And these were stories of people that she has walked with in the end of life days. And she's a very fine writer, great stories, really interesting, and really enjoyed that. Now, Currently, I have to say, I just finished listening to Still Christian, Following Jesus Out of American Evangelicalism by David Gushee. And I'm listening to his book now, After Evangelicalism, The Path to a New Christianity. And I'm excited because the end of August, I'm going to be talking with David here on the podcast. And his books have really, what's the word? They have just... I've been so interested in this. I can hardly wait to walk or to get in my car so I can listen some more. Not that I couldn't yes. other times, but I've talked to you about these books too.
Well, yes, I think you told me, said, Mike, this guy explains your theology.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. And I feel like some of what he's talking about is where my theology is. If some of you are already aware of David Gushee, some of you might be going, what? You're kidding me. And others of you might be going, yeah, I knew that. I find him a very compelling writer. And he's an ethics professor. Yeah. And I think I'm realizing that I appreciate theology when it's understandable. I feel like I understand it when I listen to this guy. And it also makes me think I might have studied something different if I knew today, what I knew, if I knew then what I know today when I was in college, I probably would have studied something different. But that's probably true of most of us.
Now, the thing is most theologians are PhDs.
Yeah.
And my theory on academic papers is if you write an interesting sentence,
yeah.
it won't pass muster.
I think that might be true. Though I think he's a PhD, and I think... Yeah.
No, but
I think he's really interesting, but I totally hear you and he might agree with that. I'll ask him.
Well, no, I'm just saying sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm reading a theology book, I go, right. You could have said this a lot easier.
Oh, okay. 100%. I agree with you. Absolutely.
So, there are times I just go, this is an excursion into ego.
Yeah. Well, and so what I'm listening to that he's writing, these are not theology books. A little bit of memoir with theology thrown in and history. I realize how much I love history. So no shock that John, my son, is a history guy, right? History major and master's as well. So yeah, I'm really loving the history part of this. And yeah, just that. So that's kind of where my reading is and where your reading is.
Well, one of the things I appreciate so much about you is you're on this journey of faith, and some people might say, my gosh, Anita, you're in your 60s. You shouldn't have to be journey.
Hey, barely in my 60s, Mike. Come on, 61. Come on.
But you're an older soul.
To your point, yes. But some people might be thinking this.
Yeah, I might say, why haven't you arrived? And you're saying, you're always kind of going back and saying, I wonder what I believe about this now. How has this changed? And that scares the life out of some people. Mm-hmm. But that's the way we grow.
Well, and I think that's the way we relate to God as well. Continuing, it's an ongoing dialogue. At least I hope it is. And we don't arrive until we're no longer on this planet,
Right. Well, it's like, I've said sometimes, I've gone over some... open up some old Bibles. Mm-hmm. And I always have notes and underlines and everything.
Yeah.
And I read what's in the margin and I went, did I really believe that? I did at that particular time, but my knowledge base, my sense of identity with God, my experience with God has changed. And so I can build on what I used mm-hmm. to know.
Yeah.
Throw it away and say, this is something entirely new that I got out of that passage.
I think our view of God is constantly expanding if we're really connecting with God and in dialogue with God, because how can it not expand, And so I love that you said that. I think about what Richard Rohr says about the faith journey. He said it's that journey of order, disorder, reorder. You'll hear some people talk about deconstruction and reconstruction. I like that this particular terminology that Rohr uses, order, disorder, reorder, because I think You know, we don't necessarily throw away, but we might reorder the pieces of where things were, you know, how things were placed in our spiritual journey and our in our belief systems too.
Well, and what happens is that something disrupts
Yes.
our patterns a bit, and that's where the disorder comes in.
Yes.
And then sometimes people get really worried and they're afraid to talk to their friends about it because their friends sometimes say, no, you got to be sure of everything 100% of the time. But the Christian life is this pattern, order, disorder, reorder. The reorder gets disordered.
And reordered again. Yeah.
Reordered again. It becomes this beautiful thing. And that process keeps us moving. And along the way, we discover, yeah, here are some things that are bedrock things in my faith.
And I have to say, I liked Pete End's book a number of books ago. He wrote The Sin of Certainty. I think, you know, once you think you're certain and know it all, yeah, no. So that's kind of been my path.
Can I mention another book that I
Oh,
think would
sure.
really be interesting to people, just kind of based on this? I really like Diana Butler Bass, and she wrote a book called Freeing Jesus, and it's called the, you know, it says it's rediscovering Jesus, his friend, teacher, savior, Lord, way, and presence. And basically what she's saying, I have met Jesus in a variety of different ways through my life. And she doesn't demean one place that she was or say another's better. She says, this is the journey that I have been on. And my view of Jesus is just getting larger and he's more loving and more caring and it's helping me to be the same. I love that perspective. That would be really good for someone.
Yeah, to read right now in their life, probably, right?
Absolutely.
I was just going to say that she was on the podcast, you know, a couple of months ago. I will also say that my recording equipment was starting to go on the way out, and I'm s disappointed in the sound of that particular podcast. The content is fantastic if you can weather the sound, and which I think most people can, but I was disappointed with the sound of it. But she is so good. And what I love about that book and about talking with her, I think that book, I think we can take ourselves through our own process of freeing Jesus and look at who was Jesus to me at various times in my life, like up till 5 years old, who is Jesus to me? 5 to 10, 10 to 15. I think it's a really interesting exercise.
I think
And
it
how do
is.
we free Jesus? Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I will post. I'm going to try and remember and post the books that we've been talking about here today. So thank you. Well, let's take a look at your rumblings from this past Friday, which would be the
Six. Six.
sixth. Yep.
Six
So
of
yeah,
them.
thank you for that. That'll help people. 8/6/2021. And if you're not a Facebook friend of Mike's, I post Mike's Friday rumblings every week. So you're welcome to friend me on Facebook, or to find Mike and friend him as well to read them. And I think you can read them on both of our pages because our pages are open to anyone. So, but let's talk about a couple of rumblings. Where do we start?
Well, why don't we start with the Olympics?
Ah, yeah.
And we've had fun watching the Olympics. The swimming was amazing.
Yeah.
Who knew Seward, Alaska was become the epicenter of swimming,
Love it. The
But
17-year-old swimmer from there. Love it.
I think one of the bigger stories was Simone Biles,
Yeah.
who everyone said she's just going to walk away with mo so much gold that she's not even going to be able to carry them around her neck.
Of course, a gymnast.
Right. And she won an individual bronze, and I think and then she was part of the group that got
Silver.
the silver medal. But she withdrew herself from competition. I mean, at the top of her game, a woman that can do things that no other woman can do, and she pulled out, and stuff was just going on in her head. She was getting the twisties. Some people in other sports call it the yips. I get it. I totally understand it. And for the most part, America was very, very understanding. But to Speed America these days, there were some people that were really calling her out and saying, "Hey, Simone, you're letting everybody down." And then Michael Phelps one night, I heard Michael Phelps, who's probably considered one of the great swimmers ever, and had his own issues with mental health kind of things. He just said, "It's okay not to be okay." And I just kind of appreciated this superstar reaching out to another superstar and saying, "I get it, Simone. Don't let the critics get to you. It's okay not to be okay." And I thought, what a great message for all of us to have, to be given. Okay, not to be okay.
You know, this whole subject of mental health has been elevated
Yes.
over the past couple of years because of COVID as
Right.
well. And wow, am I glad that it's finally becoming a little bit more normalized in the public discourse, because I think it's really important for us to be talking about it. It is real, it is true. And if you've not experienced some of these issues, just it is, be supportive of those who are, because this is very real stuff.
It really is. And so the realness of the stuff that she was going through, and then the empathy that Michael Phelps showed, I thought was a really extraordinary. Who knows what happens from here? I think, but it doesn't really matter. She's got to get herself together again, long that takes. And we should be thankful that handled it in such an open and honest way. That's
Yes.
deserving of a gold medal in itself.
Yes, right.
You know, and I think that encourages other people that are going through hard times right now. I read that because of COVID, 40,000 children have lost a parent
Wow.
because of COVID.
Wow.
There's going to be some mental health, emotional health
Wow.
issues that those
Yeah.
families are going to have to face up to
Oh,
for
I
a while.
hadn't seen that statistic. Wow.
So,
What else?
well,
Let's.
I think the other thing, you know, this goes on into a political realm. I don't want to spend a lot of time with this. But I watched those four officers testify before the January 6th Congressional Bipartisan Commission, and listen to their testimony. It was very, very riveting. The pain, the fear that was exhibited.
I caught some of it. It was unbelievable.
And again, most people listening to it went, "Holy smokes, I didn't even realize this is all that they went through. This was worse than possible."
Well,
Then,
and I don't know if you're going to mention this, but I had no idea the number of suicides from their ranks that has happened.
think it's four officers
Yeah,
already.
I mean, that's proportionally, that's huge.
It's very, and we live in a deflect and deny world. And politically, we were doing that a whole lot. And I was very disappointed with a number of people in high standing in the political realm that just even mocked these officers. One commentator just mocked with derisive laughter and said, "These guys are fakes and phony. What about, you know, what about Pelosi and all this kind of thing?" And I just wanted to scream out, "Get your act together and deal with truth for a change." And I know people will listen to this and say, "Well, this is your version of truth." Well, eventually down the line, it's just not my perspective. You weigh the facts, and there's things that we have to look at. So
Well, video.
the deflection and blame always for everything that goes on is killing us as a culture. I would much prefer people say, "Yeah, there, what they experienced was very, very real. It's helping me to reevaluate my opinions."
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But we're
But
a
we'll
long
see. Got to wait and see. Don't know if that'll happen, right?
We're a very long way from that.
I
But
know.
it just reminds me that I want to make sure that I'm not deflecting things that I really need to deal with.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm I'm going to be sizzled.
Well, and thank you for your Friday rumblings, because that's where you elevate some of these things.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of some people, but that's all right. I'm kind of used to that.
That's all right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think another thing I wrote about is just, hey, folks, COVID is for real. I appreciate especially the governors and local officials who have said, hey, we got to go back to masks. You got to get vaccinated. This is the only way we're going to be able to stop this thing. I know there's people that would disagree with that, but honestly, this is the way to help stop it. And science is imperfect. This virus, the COVID, is a tricky son of a gun, and it keeps evolving.
Well, it keeps evolving. There you go. You know, we have this, the variants. Learning. Yeah.
But the two things that they've said all along is get the vaccine. That's going to help protect you and others. Wear a mask. And it's always, you know, the state we live in, the governor said, no, I'm going to stand in the way of that. And I thought, really, well, that's kind of an immature stance. But if that's what you're going to do, you're going to do. But it doesn't stop us from urging other people to do the right thing. And that's all we want people to do.
Yeah.
We can stop this.
Yeah, I thought, I don't know if you posted this somewhere else, but I thought, you know what, if you, what was the quote you had? If this person is wrong, then all we are is inconvenienced.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? I don't think that was in the rumblings somewhere else.
President Biden came out and he basically said we can do this. And he begged public officials, if you're not going to do something positive, at least get out of the way so people can. Governor in our state, I basically said, no, I'm going to stand in the way. That's what I'm going to do. And I thought to myself as I was listening to that, I said, well, if Biden is wrong about all this, then we're just all going to be inconvenienced. You know, we'll be able to complain about having to wear the mask and time it took to go get the vaccine. But if our governor is wrong, people are going to be dead.
Oof. Well, those are two very different things.
I would rather be inconvenienced than dead.
Inconvenienced than dead. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And so I hope, I don't even know how to get through to people. I mean, people are just enraged about anything that has to do with COVID. These are strange times. Mm. So thankfully in our house, we agree on most things.
Well, it does help, you know. We don't agree on everything, certainly, but on a lot of things.
No, we don't.
Pick another rumbling.
All right. Frederick Buechner. Have you ever read Frederick Buechner?
I love Buechner. I read his autobiography. Oh, many. I was in my 20s, I think, when I read that.
Yeah, and he wrote a book called A Crazy Holy God. Mm. And seriously, folks, Buechner is somebody.
A Crazy Holy Grace.
Holy Grace, that's it. I was trying to read my writing. Yeah, A Crazy Holy Grace. And man, he really says some profound things. But I love this. He says, you know, you can survive on your own. You can grow strong on your own. You can even prevail on your own. He said, you cannot become human on your own. He says, surely that is why in Jesus's sad joke, the rich man had as hard a time getting into paradise as that camel through the needle's eye. Because with his credit card in his pocket, the rich man is so effective at getting for himself everything he needs that he does not see that what he needs more than anything else, more than anything else in the world, those things can only be received as a gift. And he says he does not see that the one thing the clenched fist cannot do or do is accept, even from a good God, is a helping hand.
Mm.
And I just thought, I wonder how many of us live with clenched fists sometimes, but think we can do it on our own. And we fail to receive the grace of an open hand, an open gesture from somebody that God has sent just our way for the purpose of doing something beautiful in our life, helping us to become more human. So
that thank really you, Frederick Buechner. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I thought it might be nice to end with your last rumbling, because I just love the first line of it. The ability to laugh is an underrated spiritual gift. Preach on. Preach on about that.
Yes, I've got to find it here. The ability to laugh is an underestimated spiritual gift. When I do spiritual direction with people, often in the midst of weighty discussions, there seems to be a moment or two of laughter. It happens quite naturally. A smile and a good laugh, I found, can lift 100 pounds of weight off someone's shoulders, at least for a moment. It seems to create a space that makes talking about the heavier things a bit easier. Every once in a while, when I sense someone needs to lighten up a bit, I recommend they watch What About Bob, the Bill Murray movie.
Oh, yeah.
I urge them to give themselves permission to laugh and to pay particular attention to the wisdom of baby steps.
It's a great movie for just the reasons that you mentioned.
We might
we
have to
do
watch
need
that
to laugh, test. Don't we?
Well, we do. And isn't it interesting, Anita, how many times when you're in the midst of a conversation with someone that there is a moment of levity? And I believe that moment of levity, it's, you know, it can be inappropriate, certainly, but laughter and joy, a smile is a gift from God.
I was just going to say, God-given stuff. That's what you're talking about.
But we're
yep.
able to give it to others.
Yes. Oh, I like that a lot. That's a good place for us to end today, too, I think. We live in difficult times. We know that. We talked about it here a little bit today. Maybe you'll pick a good book that we mentioned that we've been reading that you'll decide to read, and that will take you to some good places. Maybe you will just decide to do a little laughing and share that laughter with a friend, and that can take you to some good places too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mike, thank you. Thanks for faithfully writing the rumblings every Friday. I so appreciate it. I learn and I grow by reading them, and it's always good to have you here on the podcast. Thank you.
Well, I love coming on. And I love it. Usually about Friday of 1 week, you'll say, oh, I don't have a guest for next week on the podcast.
Oh, listen to you. No.
It's time for you.
Stop. Well, I know one thing that people know is I end the podcast the same way all the time. And I mean it. My hope is that whatever you've heard on the podcast, you'll take and talk to a friend and keep the conversation going.